Hi, this is Jeff Alpin, the Big Game Hunter, and you're listening to Job Search Radio. Angelique Lozada is my guest this week, and she has a really good interview about networking and how to do it better. But I was using a new piece of recording software to record our Skype conversation, and the audio quality isn't quite up to usual standards, so I wanted to apologize to you right away. Now, I'll let you know about this so you're not surprised. This was an experiment. I'll get better at it in the future. And as a matter of fact, subsequent shows that you'll hear have much better audio quality. But I didn't want to re-record this because Angelique had a lot of good information. So hang in there for the recording. I think you'll really enjoy it. And now let's sing along.
Are you looking for a new job or interested in leveling up? Job Search Radio is your go-to resource for insider tips on job hunting and growing your career. Here's your host, Jeff Altman.
My guest today is Angelique Lozada, who's a career coach, mentor, and marketing instructor who basically helps people play bigger. You know, she used to be a corporate marketer for the Huffington Post. She loves helping people with their personal branding, marketing, and personal development. Angelique, welcome to Job Search Radio. Great to have you here.
Great to be with you.
Super. So, networking. You know, for a lot of people, it's like taking bad-tasting medicine. They view marketing, themselves and networking as being this very distasteful thing that they would really prefer not doing. Why do you think that is, and what can we do to make it much more palatable for them?
You know, that the same reason why networking is a little bit sour to people, and the same reason why it's not too natural for many people is the same reason why I actually started doing what I'm doing, helping others sell themselves better. Because I've been with over 10 years in the marketing field, always doing sales marketing. As you know, communications is all about selling something, you're selling ideas, you're selling something. And so for me, networking was always very natural. And at the beginning of my career, I did B2B marketing. As you know, with B2B, it's all about relationships and doing, went to conferences and trade shows. So I think I went to over 50 conferences. So it was natural. I needed to network. That's what you do, right? So for me, it was like a natural thing. I started very early on. Actually, I learned to networking from my mentor, one of my first bosses, and she's like a superstar networker. So, but throughout the years, talking with my friends and talking with new acquaintances, I realized that, hey, something that I do for my job, and it's like normal for me, it wasn't as normal for other people. So, for many reasons. One, it could be like your career doesn't ask for it, maybe, right? Maybe you're a nurse, or maybe you're in IT, maybe you don't do as much networking, right? Or maybe you're timid, maybe you're introverted, and talking to strangers is not your thing. Or maybe you do networking, you do like exchanging information with people, but then you don't get to the part of using networking to actually work for yourself, right? In this case, like for a job search or for your business. So I think that networking, like you said, it could have like a sour connotation. Not only because it can sound like a little salesy, like I'm selling something, but also the whole idea of multi-level marketing, right? Because I've heard people saying, "Oh, I don't do multi-level marketing, so I don't have to do networking." I'm like, "Oh, that's like semantics. What it has to do with multi-level marketing? It's something you do for multi-level marketing, but doesn't only need to happen if you have a multi-level marketing business."
And it's bizarre to me because at the end of the day, the statistics always show that networking is the best way to find a job. It's the most effective. It's the most successful. 70% of all jobs are filled by networking, and 70% of all of those positions, or 49%, are filled as a result of networking to people that you didn't know at the beginning of your job search. So it's bizarre to me that people just don't get it. So where should folks start off in their networking journey? What do you think they ought to do to get themselves over that reservation or that hurdle and get them into networking?
The first thing is to change your consciousness. Everything starts in the consciousness. We can give you tips, you can read books, but if that shift doesn't happen in your consciousness, that you actually have to be networking, nothing will happen. You maybe will do it once, maybe you will do it 1 month, and then you forget about it. And that is the thing. Even though we're focusing on networking for job search, I want to make this point very clear. You shouldn't wait until you're searching for a job in order to start networking.
Ding, 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 ding. That is the home run tip for every job hunter on the planet. If you wait until you need a job, it's too late. Sorry to interrupt. I can't help but do that.
Exactly. No, no. That is the reality. And I'm glad that you did the audio background, because it is that important. And I think that is the first caveat in order for the network, is that people want to network when they need something, right? And that is why it may sound artificial, because in your mind you're already looking for something, and no one wants to be sold out. No one wants to feel that someone is getting something for you, right? You don't like that, right?
No one likes that.
So, but if you're going already with that mentality, okay, I need a job, I need to talk to these people, I need to go and see if they connect me with someone, of course it's going to feel natural. Of course it's going to feel selfly, because that is your intention, right? So the idea is that you have to put it in your brain that networking is not something good to do. Is something essential to incorporate in your career. Doesn't matter which industry or position you are. Because guess what, Jeff? We are evolving every day.
Yep.
Our careers evolve. Maybe we're now happy in our job, but maybe we're not happy in a year from now. Or maybe we decide we want to go into a side hustle, or we want to go into our own business, and then you need contacts at that time. So the idea is do networking in an ongoing basis. So that is the first thing. Do networking in the ongoing business, so ongoing manner.
So that's tip number one, always network, always be networking. I know it sounds like one of these movie lines from a Boiler Room movie, always be closing, like...
Yes.
but it's always be networking. So that's tip number one about networking. What's your second piece of advice for people about networking?
Okay, so what is networking, Jeff? How would you describe it? If someone asks you, tell me that description in a sentence of networking, what would you say to them then?
I would say it's the effort to build a relationship with someone over time that's mutually beneficial. And this person is someone that you didn't know at the beginning, but now you want to get to know. How did I do?
Great. That's fabulous. So you said the description, and then you said the end result, right? The end result. So now how we make that same description, which is fabulous, how we make the description in a practical way that you, the audience, can get and do right away. So this is the description that I like to say. Networking is relationship building with people, connecting with people with the aim of exchanging information. Exchanging information here, Jeff, I think is the key. Because if you don't exchange information, then what you really said about the long-term relationship and the mutual beneficial, that will not happen. So in order for that relationship to be built, you need to exchange information. And I think, Jeff, that is the second tip, and that is the fact that I think many people that think that they're really doing network, you know, may think, oh, I do talk with people, but then nothing happens, and no one wants to help me, or I don't know how to reach out. It's because of that, because you did good in connecting. Maybe you talked about the weather. Maybe you connected in LinkedIn. Maybe you even went far to even connect in Facebook. But then you didn't connect it. You didn't exchange the information.
You didn't do anything purposeful that's going to get a result.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, folks, you want to start connecting with people so they'll help you get a job at some point. So there's got to be an outcome that you're going for, and the process may be, you know, sharing information with one another so that you build a relationship of trust and value and all that sort of stuff, right?
Exactly. So, Jeff, I like calling. Actually, I wrote an article called Conscious Networking. And the idea is that not doing networking just for the heck of it or just for talking with people, it's about being conscious about what are you looking for and how can I help this person in order to build that relationship. So it's the same as calling us networking with purpose. And especially for job seekers, even the purpose is even more timely, right? Because you want to find a job now, and the sooner, the better. You want to find it in 2 years. So if you're looking for one now, you want to find it like yesterday, right? So that's even more so, it needs to be a networking with purpose. So in the whole idea with exchange of information, the idea is that, Jeff, it's not the other person's job to know what are we looking for. It's our job to communicate it. So if the other person doesn't know, how they're not going to just guess it. You have to tell them. So I think
there's no mind reading that goes on. At the end of the day, each of you has to know something about the other, how you can help one another. And if you're just sitting there giving without telling them what would be helpful to you, you're not going to get results from it.
Exactly, and very important, Jeff, I want to tell the audience is that don't underestimate the power of telling what you need to people that you think are not going to help you. Because we are very good at judging, like, oh, this person is not in the industry, or this person is not even working, how they can help, why I'm going to tell them, right? We're very quick to judge. Okay, this is a good person to tell. This is not a good person to tell. So the idea is that everybody is fair ground in order to exchange information. Why? Because maybe that person has a neighbor who has a company that can connect to this. That person can give you a tip of a company that is hiring. That person can know someone who can help you. And at the end of the day, Jeff, if that person doesn't help you in that moment, it's okay. Maybe they can help you along the road a few months, a few years later. But the worst that can happen, you practice. You practice your networking and you practice exchanging information. And you have built a new contact, maybe not to help you right now, but if you have a good rapport and you had a good conversation, she's another person in your roster. And that's the idea, that you shouldn't be building relationship with only people in your industry. It's also good to have a wide range of people in your network, because everybody has to contribute for your network. So don't be biased.
Agreed. And we'll be back with more from Angelique in just a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Hi, it's Jeff, and Before we come back to Angelique, I just wanted to say to you that next week the doors are opening on JobSearchCoachingHQ.com, my new service for job hunters with tons of great information, a community of people to help you with your search, as well as the ability to ask me questions. Now, for a small monthly fee, that's what you're getting. Over 400 pieces of content, including all my books, many of my podcasts, tons of videos, articles that I've written, all designed to help you find work. So that's going to be rolling out next week, and I want to stress the big part, which is access to me to answer your job search questions. So look for the announcement in next week's show. I'll tell you exactly how to join. And now let's come back to Angelique.
Okay, we're back. And you raised a subject that's a favorite of mine. And I'll just give my audience and you a story. There's someone I met through networking many years ago. And he always tells a story about someone who was in his networking group who had been a senior VP at a bank and lost his job. He's home all the time. And he's on the phone trying to put together leads. And the cleaning person is in his house, and she overhears him and asks for a copy of his resume. And he goes, sure, and doesn't do it. 2 weeks later, she's back, asks for a copy of the resume, again, defers. 2 weeks after that, she's back, goes to the wife, can I get a copy of the resume? And she's going, and his wife says, she's nagging me for a copy of the resume. Could you give me a copy of the resume, please? As it turns out, the woman was married to a bank president, and she was doing this as an act of service as part of her faith. And didn't need the money. She'd always donated it to charity, but she overheard this and wanted to give it to her husband. That's how we found this job, was through his cleaning person. So you never know where it comes from. Amazing.
I love the story, Dick. Great story.
Thank you. So what other things should people do when they're networking or to network or to overcome their reservations to network?
Okay, so this is my, other than always be networking, but this is my favorite tip. That my all-time favorite tip, and the one that I think will really help you doing networking, it will change how you do networking, and will really change how your network that you have built can work for you. Okay, so are you ready?
I'm ready for you.
Okay, so this is the fact is, networking is more about what you give than what you receive.
So give more, get more, is
exactly
what you're saying.
Exactly. So this is the thing. This is one of the reasons, again, like I mentioned before, that many it sounds a little natural to people or like selfly, is because you're thinking about what I can get. See, and that's where all your words get, because you don't want to be too pushy, but you want to get something else. But the reason is because we are always looking for what can I get. So this is the idea. Is that yes, have a purpose. And with the purpose means knowing very clear what you want and communicate it. So that is your task. You have to communicate it. But after that, you have to let go about you and concentrate on the other person. Make sure that you're not the only one exchanging information. Ask the other person, what are they looking for, right? What are they working on? Be interested. And Jeff, everybody wants to feel, at the end, everybody wants to feel that they matter. And nothing is as important as in conversations, especially in new conversations. I'm sure that you can really have a thought and remember the greatest conversations that you have had with new people, even with your acquaintances or your friends. The best conversations you've had, those that are memorable and that touch your heart, are those that you got to speak, that you got to share, right? You got
right.
to share your views, what are you working on, your passion, And at the end of the day, that's what you want to do. You want to also listen to the other person and see if you can help them. Why? Not only is the good feeling, right? It's not only that, but at the end, Jeff, is that the essence of networking? Is to, like you said, is to build that relationship. So a relationship is it's about two ways. It's not one way, right? It's not only talking, it's two ways. So what happens? Once you give the other person that attention, once you help them, maybe you share an event. Maybe they tell you, oh, I have this event coming up. Share it to your network. They're like, oh, I'll send an email to a few friends, you know? It can be as simple as that. Oh, I know someone who is looking for someone like you. Try to help. Maybe you can, maybe you not you can. But the basic thing you can give them is their attention. But what happens once you give that is that they are gonna be more open to help you. So it's gonna break a little bit of the barrier of asking for help. Guess what? If you already did something for them in a month, in a week, you can go and ask them for something. And they're even be without even asking, they may be the ones to tell you, okay, what you need, I want to help you, because they're gonna feel grateful. And we are natural grateful people. We are, but we need to have that exchange in order to activate it.
Agreed. So people meet under a variety of circumstances. You know, they could be in an elevator. They can be in a restaurant. And you overhear a conversation at the next table. Now, elevator pitches. Should people use elevator pitches? And I want to acknowledge my bias. I'm not a big fan of pitches. Now, they always sound like canned speeches that are awful. So that's my bias, but you're the pro. I want to see what you think about them.
Yes, that is the same reason why I'm laughing now. Because when we spoke the first time, you told me, I don't like elevator pitches. So I was going to somehow incorporate it in our talk, and I wanted to acknowledge that you didn't like it, but I find it funny that you were the one bringing it up. So I'm going to tell you a little story, because it came this morning, came up this morning, exactly about that. And actually, I mentioned you to her. And that about our conversation, prior conversation, is that I have any clients who was attending last week the same conference that I was. We didn't get to meet in person. We have collaborated before, then I haven't heard from her like in 6 months. And this week she's like, oh, I want to take a block to the next level, let's talk. So she's like, oh, I think you were in the conference because I saw some of your pictures. But we never got to the face-to-face. So last week I went to Hispanicize, it's the biggest Latino influencer conference of the year. More than 2,000 people were there in Miami. It's pretty big. So I was there working all week long. Actually, I have like a bunch of follow-ups tonight. But we were talking about that, and she said something very interesting. She's a reporter and she's a blogger. And she told me, I met so many people, but for me, it was so difficult to go from the personal to the professional.
Interesting.
Yes, very interesting. She's like, because you know, we're Latinos, we're like very warm, and we like talking about where you're from, and your grandfather, and your grandmother, and so. But I made a lot of connections, and I did, I formed a lot of relationships, but it was hard for me to even say what I was doing and to switch it. So I found it very interesting that she told me that, and I started giving her tips, and one of the tips, and the reason this, she told me, I never had to network, because I've always been a reporter. I didn't have to like really sell the company, right? The other way around, PR people were selling me the story, so she didn't really have to sell it. She's like now in her 40s, you know? But now she has a business, she's building her brand, so she needs to, right? So I told her, okay, so something that will help you is a little tool called the elevator pitch, And I told her, actually, some people don't like it. Actually, I'm going to have an interview with Jeff Altman, who doesn't really like it. But I do believe in it, that in some, for some people, it's a necessary tool. Like you and I, obviously, you have this talk show. You're a recruiter. You are a career coach. So I'm pretty sure that you are not timid. Talking with people.
Okay? I'm smooth. I'm comfortable. I entertain.
Exactly. So, of course, you don't have to even do a better pace. It could just come natural, you know. And I believe that me too, because I've had so many years of experience in marketing, and I have a type A personality, I'm a true Aries, so I see just comes with the package. I'm not timid in that sense, even though I have my timid moments, obviously. But in a general sense, I feel that I'm comfortable with that. But the reality is not every person is like that, right? Not every person has had the chance to practice, not every person is just natural. So the elevator pitch is a great tool. It's not a strategy, it's a great tool that helps you get into the groove in networking. Why? Because one of the roadblocks that I hear from people of why they don't network or why they want to but they don't know how to is they don't know what to say. Right? What do I say? For us, it's like, oh, let's talk about the weather. But they don't really know. They get, like, frozen. Right?
Yeah, it happens all the time.
It happens all the time. So the elevator pitch is a tool that helps you figure out, it's like your little script to say what to say when you're in the networking situation. So this is the thing. Remember that at the beginning we said that we should be networking all the time, right? So if you are networking all the time, and that means that you should be exchanging information of what you want and what you do, that means that you should be saying your elevator pitch all the time. So if you are already doing have to do your elevator pitch all the time, why not practice it beforehand? So that's the benefit, right? If you're going to say it all the time, why not take a moment of your time, write down, because there's a power in writing, as we know, and then just practice it. So this is the thing. Just like telenovelas, like TV series, scripted TV series, not reality TV, they have a script, right, Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you see the final result, do you feel that they're like reading off a script?
No.
It's natural. It's right. Natural, right? So that is the same idea. Like, you write it, but doesn't mean that it's going to sound scripted. It's not going to be like, oh, I have to say this, la, la, la. Oh, I messed up the order. No. The idea of the power of writing it down is that organizes your thoughts. Right? It organizes what you have to say, and then you practice it in order for it to be natural. And the more that you say it, it has to just come so natural in a conversation that the other person doesn't even realize it. You're doing an elevator pitch. And I think that is the key.
Practice is one of the big things that job hunters don't do. Yet, professional athletes, even top amateur athletes, know the importance of practice. You know, when we look at the NCAA finals that just took place, or other sporting events, it's no accident that players know where to be on the court or on the field, you know, because they've practiced it a million times. The winning shot in the NCAA finals, I'm sure that they've practiced that play before, yet with 4 seconds left, they bring the ball up, short pass, jump shot, game over. Practice makes all the difference in the world to a champion. And job hunters think that they can arrive at an interview. They think they can, you know, just say what comes into their mind and it's going to come out beautifully. Trust me, folks, it doesn't.
Exactly. And I'm glad that you brought that point about the job interview, because guess what? What is the first, usually, I would say 98% of the time, when you're in a job interview, what is the first question they ask you there?
Tell me about yourself.
Exactly. And what do you say? You say your elevator pitch. Right? Pretty much. So a little bit longer because they're giving you the stage, right? They really want you to go over 30 seconds. But this, the same premise. It's the same premise. You have to be very concise because when you think about it, tell me about yourself. You know how much you can talk about yourself? Like, you can go on and on and on. And you cannot talk on and on and on. You, maybe a minute or so, so they start asking you questions. At the end of the day, they really want to know what it pertains to the job that you are, that you're applying to, right? They don't care about your Starbucks days when you were working during college.
As a barista, right? No interest in that. Hey, I got to ask you something. You know, I'm a believer that there's another recession coming in the not too distant future. I don't know when, but there's going to be another one. And that millions of people are going to lose their jobs. I also have the idea that a lot of these folks will get more financial staying power if they set up a side business that will help tide them over. For you as someone who does branding and marketing coaching, where do you suggest people start thinking about what they could offer in the way of a product or service for such a side business? How can they go about doing that?
So, glad you asked, because you know that right now, people my age, the so-called millennials, so the Generation Y, it's one that is very heavy on the side hustles. You know that I read a statistic that 35% of millennials have a side hustle. Did you know that?
I didn't think it was that high.
So why? Because the recession of 2009 that made, still is the economy is recovering, especially in other parts of the world. Like, I'm from Puerto Rico, we're still recovering. But that made people branch out of the job, the corporate or the job per se, because they needed to make money, right? That's one reason, right? It's circumstances. Second, there's awareness, like awakening. There's many things that are happening bad in the world, but it's the yin and yang. There's a lot of good also. The thing is that we only pretty much hear about the bad, but there's an awakening in the last 10, 15, 20 years. Yoga, New Age, Kabbalah, meditation. We didn't hear that as much 20 years ago. That's why there's so many coaches now and yoga practices. We see that all the time. I didn't see that.
What were you, 10 years old 20 years ago? Come on, Angelique. Come on.
Well, the reality is that we have seen awakening. Maybe longer. Maybe I would say 20, 30 years ago. But the at least now is that I'm aware of it. But the reality is that before, even when my parents grew up, they didn't see this. Obviously, the internet, obviously, contributed to that. But anyway, the thing is that because of the awakening and the self-help, like you go into Google and type the word self-help, there's thousands, millions of hits. And Amazon, there's thousands of books. So the reason why I bring that up is that because people are looking a little bit more inside, looking more in the inner self, people are asking more on their passion, on their purpose, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I really want to do this. And some people are blessed to know what their passion when they're growing up. Like singers and creative people usually, right? They know, I want to sing, I want to act. But other people like me, pretty much like you, I pretty much sure that you didn't, when you were growing up, you didn't say, I want to be a recruiter and I want to be a career coach. Right?
It was not the first thought in my mind at that time, no.
I don't think so. So, but now, because there's more about that awakening, people are acting more. They're finding what's their passion and they're acting on it. So the side hustle, now that's another reason why we see more of that, right? We see people in their job and they want to do something on the side. And so the first tip I would say is Figure out your why. That's the first thing. Figure out your why. Why you want to get a side hustle. There's usually two reasons. I think most of the reasons fall into two reasons. Why do you think it is?
Because more money, satisfying work.
That's it.
Yay, I got it.
Exactly. Exactly. It's either you want more money or you want to love what you do. You want to act on your passion. Right? And so start with that. If you want, and obviously, once you start a side hustle and you follow your passion at the end, we want to make money with the passion, obviously. So that's like a giver, right? Because that's what mm-hmm. side hustle is. The idea is to make extra cash. If someone doesn't know here what is side hustle, it's the idea of you have already something going on. That's why it's called side, because it's additional revenue. That's what it's side hustle is. So if you want more money, especially now with college debt. There's many people that have college debt that are professional, but they need extra cash, or they want to get married, or they want to buy a house, or something happens in their life that they feel that they need extra cash. So if that is the reason why, there's many ways you can do it. I'm not going to go through the list now. You can search online. You can do like ways to find extra cash. There's like 50 leads, there's 100 leads. Some are legit, some are not. But the idea is this. If you want to make money, make sure that you are very conscious about your time. And what you choose is something that will allow you to make the most money in the shortest amount of time. That sounds simple, but hey, some people get very complicated with that side hustle and they want more money, but they lose track about that and they get into all of, for example, a good example that I've seen people is this. They're not in the reality of how much time this will take. For example, the whole multi-level marketing, right? It's a great promise. Like, with your own time, you can make extra cash, right? It's a very common side hustle, right? But this is the thing. Many people go thinking, oh, yes, I'm just going to sell this thing. I'm going to make a lot of money, and I'm just going to sell it to my family and my friends, and everybody's going to buy it, and I'm just going to put posts in Facebook, and that's it. And no, you have to put a lot of time to it. And it grows through time as well. So we see many people going to it and then stopping. So you have to be realistic. So the first thing I would say is figure out how much time you are willing to dedicate to this side hustle in order to help you decide what you're going to undertake.
Thank you. Angelique, thank you so much for making time today to speak to my audience. How can people find out more about you and the work that you do?
Well, you can find me everywhere, but I would say find me in my hub. It's my website, marketingforyourcareer.com. Marketingforyourcareer.com. There are a couple of goodies, of articles. You can sign up to my VIP list where I share tips to sell yourself better and your business. If you are like ready to take action and to accelerate the process either with your business, with your career, like you want a side hustle or you want to market your new business, you can schedule a free session with me. You can also do it in Marketing for Your Career. And if you can connect with me social and Instagram, you can find me by Instagram Marketing for Your Career. And
thank you so much. And folks, I'll be back next time with someone else who's going to be here to help you. I'm Jeff Altman, the Big Game Hunter. I hope you enjoyed today's show. I also want to encourage you, connect with me on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/IN/TheBigGameHunter. Last point, like you heard at the commercial break, Job Search Coaching HQ. Visit the site, jobsearchcoachinghq.com. If we're not open, we're about to be open at that time. So come join. Great information plus access to me for questions and answers and from forums where you can ask other people for advice. Hope you enjoyed today's show and hope you have a great day.
For more job search advice, visit Jeff's website at thebiggamehunter.us. That's thebiggamehunter.us.
Oh,